This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome, everyone, to Access All Areas. It is me, Stephen Lang, and I am by myself this evening. The lovely Lizzie Cundy is otherwise engaged. She forgot that her reality show was starting tonight, and she had to go to a launch party. So do check that out at 9:30 on ITV, our Shirley Valentine summer. I know I will be, only to laugh at the stupid things that they're going to make her do. We have an amazing show lined up for you anyway. First up, we have Joey Bevan, who I've just been having a nice chat to outside, fashion stylist and designer, and also influencer. I know he'll hate me saying that, but he's a bit of an influencer. Then we have friend of the show Tay-Tay Stars, who I've also just seen outside busy from Franklin Lake to talk about some new music. And then we have the very gorgeous, very handsome Max George, formerly of The Wanted, if you remember them from a couple of years ago, to talk about his new music, which I've actually just listened to and is v good, so I'm quite impressed. I did want to have a little brief chat though about Meghan Markle and her father. I don't know if any of you have been following recently, but her father seems to have made quite a name for himself talking about his daughter. As a response, Sharon Osbourne said on an American TV show that she thinks he is a drunk. Controversial comments. But she obviously Meghan has become fairly omnipresent at the minute. You can see her every day. And she's got her father constantly going on about how sad she looks, how she doesn't look like she's enjoying it. And you kind of get the impression that, like, Jesus Christ, if that was my dad, I would have to, even if I join the royal family, have to just tell him to shut up. I mean, to be fair, it's unlikely that me, a 32-year-old gay man, is going to be joining the royal family anytime soon. But you never know. You really never know in this day and age. Maybe I could marry... Yeah, there aren't actually any available. No, there's not, are there? That's a shame. Anyway, let's play a little track. Actually, I'm really into this song at the moment, so I'm super pleased to see it on the playlist. A bit of MNEK, and then we will get my first guest, Joey Bevan, straight in.
Before you came into my life, everything was black and white. Now all I see is color, like a rainbow in the sky. So tell me your love will never fade, but I won't see no clouds of gray. Cause I don't want another. You bring color to my life, baby. Life was so heavy, I was giving up, no, no. But since you came along, I'm light as a feather. You give me something incredible, sensational, baby. When we're together, everything is better, my darling. Only you can brighten up my day. You make everything change, you rearrange, don't go away. Let me tell ya, before you came into my life, everything was black and white. Now all I see is color, like a rainbow in the sky. So tell me your love will never fade.
You know that only you can brighten up my day, yeah.
You just saw those gray clouds away. You just clouds away.
Helps me find a brand new shade of me.
You make everything change. You rearrange, don't ever fade.
Don't fade,
don't fade, don't fade, don't fade.
You bring the color.
You bring the color.
Yeah, you bring the color.
Oh, yeah.
Fully obsessed. Sorry, I was actually talking right then, not realizing how close we were to the exit of the song. That was MNEK's Colour, which I'm fully obsessed with. We have our first guest in the studio, the very lovely Joey Bevan.
Hello.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
Nice. It's nice and air conditioned in here.
Yeah, it's nice, cool, isn't it?
They treat you well here.
They really do. Shame there's no champagne on arrival, but you know, I would, you know, that's fine.
I was hoping I've got a nice glass of water there.
That's all you need.
That's it.
How are you, Joey?
Yeah, I'm good. Very well, thank you. Busy.
Busy. That's kind of your vibe, right?
That's it. All the time. Always busy, always working, and got so many projects at the moment. So just trying to free up some time to just take everything in over the last 8 years.
Yeah, so basically you're like stylist,
which presenter.
And you've done bits and bobs of presenting.
Fingers in the pie, as me. You,
I'm going to say jack of all trades, master of none, but that's up to, you know what I mean.
I'm hoping master of all, if you know.
Eventually, one day.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about what you do and kind of how you got into it.
So I started off as a fashion designer, learning that at college and university, and then I started actually in the YMCA pop-up shop in Southend-on-Sea.
Nice.
So I worked with a charity shop. Yeah, just a charity shop, and done a pop-up recycling the clothes. And then from there I got spotted in the local paper by a lady who did this fashion show called I Heart Fashion. It was quite big 10 years ago, and she was on the way to Southend to visit her grandma, saw me in the paper, added me on Facebook, and I did her show, and then I was scouted there for Britain's Next Top Model Live. And that's how it all began.
And it was as simple as that?
Simple as that. And then I did America's Next Top Model Live, then did America's Next Top Model Live and represented the UK with the All Stars, which was great because I am a huge fan of the show. So that was kind of like tick, 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 get that off. And and then I got to make the vegetable dress for Prince Charles, not for him to wear, but it was good. It looked nice.
Yeah, and that obviously propelled you a bit, right?
Yeah, it did. Like I think it just...
Explain how that came about.
It just, the same company, PR company that did Britain's Next Top Model, also supported the Idol Home Show. And basically they asked me if I would be commissioned to make a dress out of vegetables to meet Prince Charles. And I got to meet him. And it was great.
What did he think of it?
Do you know what, actually? He was only supposed to spend about 3 minutes per person. And he ended up spending about 10 to 15 minutes with me because we were chatting away. And
about the vegetables?
About the vegetables. And I will say this because they give you this whole protocol on how you've got to act. Like, it's almost like, you know, you can imagine it in a film. Don't do this. Don't do that. You've got to be like this. You've got to be like that. And I was like, oh, my God. And I kept thinking, what do I call him? Do I call him Your Royal Highness, Your Majesty? And I got in such a state. And then the model was 6 foot without heels on. So when she put that on, she looked like RuPaul, RuPaul's Drag Race. But she just looked amazing. And the first thing he said was, oh, what a big woman. And she was so tall because I made this
state
big
of bloody
pepper.
Obvious, Charles.
I know. But he cracked up. He loved it. He kept laughing and just, he couldn't believe how much talent went into the dress. And I was just being my usual self. And I could see the PR company are like gritting their teeth because they're like, already gave me the protocol and not what to do. And I'm like, oh, thanks, mate. But he really enjoyed it. That's it. And then the next day, of course, it was all over the front page of all the newspapers, and Prince Charles with a massive smile and laughing on the front cover of everything.
That's
so
awesome.
With me peering around the vegetable dress.
Now, actually, you mentioned Britain's Next Top Model. Were you on it?
I did the Britain's Next Top Model live show.
Oh, so see, I was on the real show.
Oh, you was on the real show. I know, I saw that. You was. I was on the live one, so I was with the fans.
Okay.
But it was good to
be bitchy to some nice girls.
I saw that.
Yeah.
You were
quite cruel.
Very bitchy, actually.
Yeah, I was actually quite mean.
It's cool.
They told me to be. So
yeah,
that's
what you got to be, yeah. That's it.
You got to do what you do.
You work in journalism, you got to be true to itself.
Well, that's exactly right. Obviously, since then you've gone on to do some amazing things. You mentioned outside doing X Factor Abroad and stuff like that.
Yeah, I did. I've worked on making some costumes for X Factor UK, and then I was the wardrobe director for the Iranian version of X Factor, which
is not ever something I expect that you think your career is going to go.
No,
right?
It was kind of when they contacted me and said, "Oh, look," and it was working with all the X Factor production team, and
in the UK,
yeah, the UK one. So they film it over here because there's a whole big thing about TV's illegal in Iran, so they kind of have like
awkward.
I know it's awkward, but it was a massive production. Like, it was the same size stages. We had like the guest judges that were famous Iranian singers, but it was such a great show to work on. But there were so many restrictions on what I could dress, especially the females, of course.
Yeah,
but by season
was that quite a learning curve then? You had to bearing all these rules in mind.
It was because I've always been sort of like, oh, I could dress anybody like how I want to dress them, especially, you know, being in the Western world. But it was an eye-opener, especially when it was a traditional song. You had to dress them in traditional wares. But
so what happened in that environment? Would they bring in a load of outfits and then you curate something?
No, I had to pull everything.
Right.
So everything was pulled from PR, designers, everything. So their weekend in Iran is Thursday and Friday, so it was great because I got every Saturday and Sunday off for 10 weeks. But it was kind of good. But by season two, I did two seasons of it, and season two, it was so much better because they sort of let down the boundaries a bit because they realised how popular the show was, and it was such a young audience. And people have this thing on Iran that Iran's, because of the media, that it's this, you know, everyone's walking around with a burqa on and they can't speak, but it's not. There was, we had female rappers, we had a almost like a rock god on there, you know, people. There was a rap, there was a like Rihanna, an Iranian Rihanna on season two, and she came second and she lost by about 300 votes. So the fact that she was up there in the final two. But and in the final, they put her in a crop top and she had like slouchy shorts.
And that was
on.
Allowed?
It was allowed and they loved it. So I got massive, a big section of my following is from that Middle Eastern like area.
Yeah, that's impressive.
No, it's good.
And what are you up to now?
So at the moment, I'm doing a lot of commercial jobs. So it's all makeup adverts and money, money, money. That's what we're here for. Money jobs and doing some bits, working with a couple of... I love working with new music artists. So my thing is I'd rather work with a new up-and-coming person than someone who's already well-known, because you kind of get lost in the team when you're with somebody who's already well-known. It's about them being known, where I love working with someone who's up-and-coming. But I've got some new bands. I'm working with some new singers. And I'm working on a project at the moment, which started off, it was going to be just a... like an editorial for a magazine, and now it's turned into the possibilities of a book, an art book, fashion and art book.
What's that on?
It's based, it's such a weird subject, but it's based on how sexual perversions back in the 50s were like taboo, and everybody just, you know, were married, man and woman, they would have sex and that was it, and there was normally the woman didn't have any pleasure because the man would just be in there 2 minutes now. And it's just about how nowadays those sexual perversions back then, like some of these people, like gay people and lesbian people, trans people, were put on like the sex pest list, and they're still on there from stuff from the 50s, like lost their jobs as teachers. Nowadays people are so free to be who they want, and the book is basically in a nutshell looking at those perversions, how they were in the 50s, and kind of talking about the dark side behind them and how people judged them, and they were criticised, their families with that, kids were taken off of them for it. And nowadays it's just, you know, a man and a man kissing, or you know, a freeze up.
How do you do research into something like that?
I've done some research. I bet you have learned some things recently, and I'm not like, I wouldn't say I was a prude, you know, because I'm not anywhere near that. That's what I was meant to say. But I've learned a lot about how bad it was in the 50s and how people were discriminated against, like, for having like a polyamorous relationship. Like, there might have been a married man and woman, and then they would have had a female companion that would have joined them. But and then things like breastfeeding. So in the Second World War, when there was a shortage of milk with the rations, it was okay for women to give breast milk for people to drink and have in their stuff. But in the 50s, if I say a married man was caught sexualizing and trying the breast milk, he would have been like, he could have been arrested for doing something like that. It's really weird. But it's almost like, well, when you've got no milk, it's okay.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, so I'm learning a lot about different
I'm learning
things.
A lot as well, to be honest.
And it's, the subjects are about modern-day stuff, so the breast thing we're talking about is almost about, you know, how women on the street are campaigning at the moment that they can't breastfeed in public because there's still people.
That's a really big
up.
Deal at the minute, right? Like about women who are sitting in cafes and stuff feeling the need to cover themselves.
That's
and
it.
Blah, blah, blah.
And we've got things like in the book, we're going to have, there's a whole thing on the freak show and freaks. So we've got like a transgender model posing as a bearded lady. So it's almost representing the fact that...
Conchita.
Yes. A bearded, like almost think of like a bearded lady in the 50s would have been... almost looked at as a freak, same as how trans people are looked at as freaks. And, but inside, they're the feminine female. It's almost like playing on gender norms and sexuality.
And societal expectations.
It's sexy.
I'm excited by this. When is it all going to come to fruition, do you think?
We're starting the photo shoots next month, and I've got an amazing photographer, Graham Cann, and he's like a brother to me, even though he's like 60-odd, and I'm like 30. He's more like my dad, actually.
But got it.
He's really cool. He's going to feature in the book as well. I'm featuring in the book as a model, so...
Yeah, so you do some modelling work now as well, right?
Yeah, I still can't believe it.
Yeah, but it's true.
It's funny.
But that's actually quite an interesting story, right? You lost a considerable amount of weight.
Yes, I lost 9 stone on Weight Watchers.
So you were 20...
22 stone, and I went down to 13, but I've put a little bit on since then. I'm not 13 stone, but I just looked really...
You're a curvy girl.
I like having my curves, you know? It's moneymaker now.
But, yeah, clearly.
But yeah, I've done some campaigns with some big plus-size brands and working with stuff like that, but it's almost... it's a shock for me because I really suffered with body dysmorphia. So for me, I hated the way I looked. And like, I used to always have... I've always had a big chest. And I used to tape my chest before going... I was like, you know, like...
Really?
My lesbian friends went through when they were at school, like taping their chests to make them look a bit more masculine. But it's like, boys, don't cry. But yeah, so I taped it and it was awful. And I really suffered with issues. And since I turned 30, and I'm 33 now, but since I turned 30...
Just a bit older than me. I just want to add that.
Yeah, but I look better looking than you, so it's all right.
Well, I'm not getting their modelling contracts, I know, but I have a much smoother forehead.
I know. Well, yeah, you can. Can you move it? Are you right? I don't even know what kind of expression he's got, guys, because, you know, he's had so much Botox right now that he can't even... He's dribbling.
Piss off!
But no, yeah, I just can't believe it. I remember I got the call and I said, I'm with Bridge Models, and they're like the number one UK plus size agency, and they were like, we want to sign you. And I was like, oh my God, I'm a model. I was like, oh my God, like Cindy Crawford, move over, I'm a supermodel. So I rang all my friends and I, of course, sent them a Zoolander selfie, Blue Steel. But yeah, it was kind of shocking. But I remember walking out of the meeting and doing, you know, that... The 80s fist punch where you freeze in midair.
Yeah.
It was like that, but I didn't freeze.
Well, you should be really, obviously, because...
And I fell straight down to earth.
You should be really proud of yourself for that, though. I think that's obviously a really amazing thing.
I got really bullied when I was younger. Like, I used to get called, like, fat Jew because I've got curly hair and I'm not even Jewish. Like, I used to say to people, I'm not Jewish. And they go, but you're fat. And I'd go, okay. But
That's
it. It's true, but I like my food, so...
Well, and so you did Weight Watchers, too.
I did Weight Watchers, and I've...
How long did it take?
18 months. It took...
Is it quite hard to stick to that?
22 years to get that big and then 18 months to lose it. But no, I loved it because I could still eat all the crap I wanted to eat, but you just do it by your points. So I'm very much like, I'm quite competitive. So to be competitive against myself and be like, yes, and lose the weight. And I remember in the first week, I lost like, I think it was like a stone and a half in the first week, but that's because I was so big. But me and my best friend Nicole, we went to Weight Watchers. It was almost like every Tuesday we'd go get our weigh in, then we'd go shopping at Tesco's and have our treat night, which was a treat night. And then yeah, just I carried on losing the weight, and I've lost some more weight recently because I put on a little bit of weight. Because you get the problem with our industry is you just eat at a stupid time at night, so you get home because you haven't eaten all day, and then you just stuff your face on like normally a like takeaway from Liverpool Street on the train home and hope for the best. But yeah, so I've just started to eat cleaner, and I gave up alcohol 2.5 years ago.
Always a bonus.
And it is a bonus. And I don't, you can hear guys,
that's
like,
how
I don't
Lisa
really
Riley
need it.
Did it. That's how Lisa
did
Riley
she?
Did it. Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go.
You and Lisa.
Sure, work out DVD, Lisa. I'm going to call your agent.
Joey, honestly, thank you so much for coming on. You are right. You definitely don't need a drink to talk.
Thank you.
Because you are an Essex boy.
Exactly.
You made a little request for a song earlier, didn't you?
Yes. It's one of my favourite songs, and I love it. I love the 80s.
Bit of Africa Toto. Where can we find you on social media if anyone's
If you go to at Joey Bevan, JoeyBevan. Boom.
Done.
Done.
Thanks so much,
Thank
Joey.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
dogs cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
I was kind of ribbing Joey for choosing a bit of Toto Africa as his favourite song, but to be fair, I think that was kind of legendary. I don't know what you guys think. We have our next guest in, the very gorgeous Franklin Lake.
Woo! What is it? Thursday the 19th, and we have that big opening.
I have the big one.
How are you guys?
We're good, thank you very much.
Yeah, what's going down?
What's going down? Enjoying the weather, first of all.
Well, best
summer ever, while we've got
Hence the sunglasses.
Of course, sunglasses indoors, guys. This is boy band stuff.
Of course.
What else you been doing?
I need to get my... Oh, there we go.
You've got to stay close to the mic.
I've got a lot of admin issues right now. Sorry, Steve.
Right,
what's been going down? We've just actually released our latest single, Stronger, which was out on Friday the 13th of July.
Friday the 13th, come on, guys.
Friday the 13th.
You should know better than that.
We're risk takers.
Well, Friday the 13th was actually the 17th anniversary of my granddad's death.
Okay.
Which was obviously very close to me. So I thought, let's release it on Friday the 13th. And instead of making it a downer day for everyone, let's make it into something to celebrate and look forward to.
I think that's nice.
But that's it there.
So tell us about the new song. You've got a new song out, right?
We have, Stronger. I'm swinging around.
You really are swinging around. Stay close to that microphone.
Right. Sorry, guys.
This is not hard. You sing for a living.
And I've been in a few times, and I should.
I think this is your third or fourth time.
It is. People love having me, don't they?
Well, we do.
Bit of goss. I'm joking.
As long as you stay close to the mic.
That's it. Stronger. What's Stronger about? Stronger is about becoming stronger as an individual. Whether be coming from a bad relationship, just any bad negative place, And just achieving and being able to become yourself to everything that you've ever dreamed of being.
Okay.
And it's just a song that I think a lot of people could relate to. It's just about growing stronger as an individual.
Emotive. Is that what you're trying
song.
To say?
It's a motivating okay, yeah, song. Yeah. It's not a negative.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I'm all over the place though, aren't I? it's about becoming.
Would you agree with that?
No, I agree. Definitely.
It's about becoming stronger as an individual and just, yeah.
Okay.
No negativity.
Well, that's quite hard in this world at the minute. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Come on.
I say that because you know what, Steve? Like, I've recently watched an interview online and it was with Piers Morgan.
With Donald Trump?
No, it's the one with Love Island when he's interviewed. I haven't seen anything else. It just popped up on social media and I've seen the interview of him interviewing the guys from Love Island. And he just really just shut them, like made them feel like he looks down at people.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're out there pursuing their dreams and their careers to whatever they want to do. And it just, yeah. Just
you're not a Piers Morgan fan?
Absolutely not. I think he's a vile person. A vile person. That's my personal opinion. It's only because, like, I'm creating music with Jude for people to be motivated and inspired by. And you've got someone like Piers Morgan shutting people down on national television. I think that's really
cruel. We kind of want to give away a positive energy no matter what we do and no matter what situation we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, the song, inside the lyrics of the song, Stronger, it's like, can I be me? Can I be all that I wanted to be? And it's talking
Piers
about...
Piers Morgan would say no.
Yeah, and it's like taking lessons from my demons. Like, it's just taking... So you're having someone like Piers Morgan on national television shutting down people, it's just not nice.
Is that where you take your inspiration from then? You're looking around the world and seeing what's going on? Because it's pretty shit really at the moment, right?
Obviously, it's probably going to be possible. My belief is obviously changing the world and... I'm looking to go out into Kenya next year as well.
Oh, really? What are you going to do there?
Just stuff with with a charity to help children and rebuild their lives in schools and everything and just give back kind of thing.
Okay.
I'd love to do that. And Strong is just all about that. Strong is about becoming yourself and coming away from a bad place.
We actually have a little question that's been tweeted in.
Go on.
Do you get nervous doing these kind of interviews?
I absolutely get very nervous. Very nervous.
Thanks, Nicola. Why? Why did you get nervous? Why am I making you nervous? I'm not Piers Morgan.
No. No, I'm not nervous.
Do you get nervous?
I'm excited to be here.
Sometimes, I guess. I get nervous when I...
You seem a little bit calmer, I reckon, than Tate here.
Well, now I've been put on the spot.
We're very excited to be here, so it's just like, yeah.
It's the situation you're in and it's how you handle it, I guess, at the end of the day. I mean... Pull through.
I don't think I'm that scary, guys.
Well, you're not scary at all.
I feel I really, because I think I'm overthinking the interview and I really want it just to go really well today and everything. Yeah. It's like going.
You've been on it loads of times.
I know.
I'm a friendly guy. There's nothing to be scared of.
I know.
Thanks, Nicola, for your question.
Thanks, Nicola.
So, are you planning on doing any kind of like gigs or what's kind of the score like?
Yeah, so we've got a gig coming up, 29th of July. We are in Shardfest in Birmingham.
Oh, nice.
Main stage as well, which is going to be really, really good.
Awesome.
We've also got 2nd of November. We've got the Charity Ball, which is the Balls Against Cancer in Manchester.
Nice.
10th of November, we're doing the awards for the Courageous Kids Awards as well, which we're really excited for. And yeah, we've got loads of other stuff as well. Obviously, check out our socials. They're all on there.
What are your socials?
Franklin Lake.
That's pretty simple.
Just put an underscore, otherwise you go to the jersey with the lake, and then.
Oh, is that okay?
It's a Google narrow down.
And what kind of? Who are your inspirations? Like, what are you kind of? Who are you inspired by when you're listening to music and stuff at the minute? Because I feel like there's a lot of the same kind of music around. There's not that much diversity.
We've both
Stronger's totally different to what's out there now.
Okay,
I'm very, very
straight
different.
Blunt out there,
and
it's
agree
totally
with him.
Different
Second
to
that.
Everything. Like it's a self-penned track, so we wrote the song together, co-produced the track as well, working with
great producers.
We're on our A game at the moment. Do you know what our inspiration? Do you know what I come up with this the other day actually? Our day-to-day, everyday life, I feel like we're studying. we're learning, we're growing as people. When we go into the recording studio or we're writing a song or anything, it's our exam. That we're sitting our exam.
Yeah.
And we don't want to come out of that studio session without passing our exam. And that's what I come up with the other day.
Do you know what? I'm the one that normally gives the quotes, but that was, I agree completely.
Everyone obviously doing their music and everything out there, obviously.
It's a hard industry,
It's a hard industry, but honestly, like, I'm so passionate. I think probably the reason why I'm a bit nervous today to my previous interviews that I've done with FUBAR is that I'm so passionate about the song that we've created, and I really want it to do well because I think the world needs to, the people need to hear that song. Like, hand on my heart, people need to hear that song because it is about coming out of a negative place. And I know a lot of people can relate to it.
Yeah,
it's about
yeah.
becoming stronger as a person.
Have you been in a negative place before? I know you've had some bad press.
Well, I have. That was all a very bad place. But I think it's more like I want to be able to do what I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that, what's that quote that's always out there? I can't remember who the quote's from. It's go confidently in the direction of your dreams, live the life you have imagined, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And Franklin Lake, ourselves, myself and Jude, we're just trying to establish ourselves further within the music industry, mm-hmm. And being able to perform alongside more people that we can already say we've performed alongside. Like,
yeah, yeah, awesome.
It's a great achievement so far. We just want it to go further and further.
Yeah, of course, it's naturally. Really, well, guys, I've got the song ready to play.
Yes.
Really,
so, Tay Tay Jude, Franklin Lake, thank you so much for coming in this evening. Do you want to intro your track?
Ladies and gentlemen,
please listen to
Just Hear Stronger. Hear Stronger. Here it is.
Bit stronger by Franklin Lake.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers.
The secret is I'm still on my own.
If I could break away beyond the heartache, I want what's best for you. Never too far away, it's gotta be this way. If only that you knew.
Taking me higher. From my demons, but the truth is I'm so on my own.
I'm traveling the past. FUBAR Radio presents
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James.
You're listening to Back Row and Chill, and I've been joined today by the comic consultant. Soon you came in, you called him Casanova, and why?
Because he is the sweetest, sweet boy you're ever going to meet in your life.
Really? I've got a housemate who's a bit of a Casanova. Like, it's become a running joke. We call him Joey from Friends.
Oh.
I'll come into my kitchen in the morning, like, and there's just like this young girl in her knickers. And I don't know how he does it. You're a lovely guy, but not, you know, I wouldn't be like, yeah, you get all the women. But yeah. Somehow, I mean, he's got me. Yeah.
The
lyrics.
Gift,
like,
of the lyric. Gaff.
The gift of the gaff. Yeah. Funny gets funny.
Every Friday.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Do you like getting paid or getting paid attention? Like, you mix the wrong guys with the right intentions. In the same bed, but it still feel long distance. Yeah, you're looking for a little more consistency. But when you stop looking, you gon' find what's meant to be. And honestly, I'm way too done with the hoes. I cut off all my exes for your X and O's. I feel my old flings was just preparing me. When I say I want you, say it back, parakeet. Fly your first class through the air, Airbnb. I'm the best you had, you just be comparing me to me. I'ma add this at you. If I put you on my phone and upload it, it'd get maximum views. I came through in the clutch more than lipsticks and phones. Wore your fave cologne just to get you alone.
Don't be afraid to catch feels.
Don't be afraid to catch these feels.
Ride your cup and chase.
I am joined by the amazing Tiger Drew Honey.
Like, one of the documentaries I made was called Tiger Takes On How Straight Am I? And the very first thing we shot for the whole documentary was the director just sat me down, put a camera in front of me and said, are you straight or gay?
Wow.
And I was like, well, I'm straight, totally, you know, I fancy girls. And then you saw a journey of me over the course of the documentary where at the end of it I was stood there in drag saying, you know, all these guys dressed as girls are like really hot, maybe I am less straight than I sort of think. And that kind of journey is what makes documentaries so compelling, I think.
Every Wednesday.
Callum McSwiggin.
from 6pm, FUBAR Radio.
Hello. There should be a guest in the studio right now, but there is not. He is very close by. The very gorgeous Max George is on his way. But luckily, there is loads of news to talk about. I probably shouldn't go on about Brexit. Just going to say, because obviously I'm obsessed with it. But I don't know if anyone's seen. There's been some sad split news in the press. A little bit of Miley Cyrus, the gorgeous Miley Cyrus from Wrecking Ball fame. She has broken up with her fiancé, Liam Hemsworth. I mean, could that be any sadder? She said, well, there's some rumours that apparently they were not ready to start a family. So who knows what is going on? I'm very sad about it, to be fair, because, well, actually, I'm in two minds because she's a bit of a queer icon. And I feel like maybe she needs to find herself a little girlfriend. Because Liam Hemsworth's kind of like the ultimate, like, masculine man. I think what she needs to find is a girlfriend. I'm not going to blab on too long because I hear that Max is fairly close by. Am I right, Mrs. Producer? Yes, I'm. Yeah. Let's play a little song. Let's hope for the best. We haven't got much longer left on the show, which is kind of sad. But let's play a little bit of Anita Wood because this is one of my favourite disco songs of all time. I'll stop blabbing on now.
Presents
Filmish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
We are very honoured, privileged to have with us Oscar-winning director of The Artist, Michelle Hazanavicius. Do you like any Hugh Grant films? We just played a song from a Hugh Grant film. Are you a Hugh Grant fan?
Yes, and actually, yeah.
Get in.
Yes, of course. I love him. He's brilliant. I don't know if he's brilliant as an actor exactly, but he's brilliant as a Hugh Grant.
Every
Friday, Filmish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
From 1 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Here we go.
Wait to smoke them all whole, pack like Marlboro. Blow it in your face, blow it in your face, blow it in your, blow it in your face. I can't wait to rev you up faster than you can say Ferrari. Tearing up the gravel, watch you unravel. Now it's a party. Hey, I can't wait to cast my spell. Covered city, gravy, southern, got you dripping like no other. Play it in your face. Can't wait to get you shook up faster than you can try to hate it. You can try to hate it, you can try to fake it, but baby, I'll let you say.
Well, that sounds like that's the beginning of a song, isn't it? But our final guest of the hour is here, and I don't want to waste any time. The very gorgeous Max George.
Thanks very much, mate.
How nice are to be you?
Here. I'm really good.
Good?
Yeah, really good.
Bit rushed to get.
Yeah, it's a few steps as well, isn't it?
Well, have you been running?
Just only up the steps here.
Oh, yeah, to be fair. I usually do it with a little drink in my hand, so it's a bit easier.
Well, it's a nice booze at all now.
It's nice.
Have a pint
the
after.
Depot next door, yeah, pretty good. How are you?
I'm really good. Yeah, really, really good. Really excited that, you know, got my first solo song, on the way. And
Yeah,
the reaction's been great, and, just
it's a really good song. I was listening to it earlier. Obviously, people will know you from The Wanted, and that's where you first came. It's been a little time since that kind of disbanded. How come it took you so long?
I went into acting for a year when I moved out to LA, did some acting, and then just after that I got signed by a major label over there. It didn't quite work out, so I did the song sort of 2.5 years ago, but just because of this, label bollocks and whatnot, it just kind of didn't pan out right.
This happens a lot, right? Like, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that people don't know.
Yeah, I think so. There is, and it can take so long, and I've missed 2 summers, and I wrote the song as a summer song, so I was like, right, I'm not missing another one. So I put my own label together, got in partnership with Sony in the US, and now it's all going now.
And finally, how does it feel to get it all out?
It's really nice. Like, it's been kind of a relief, really, because I've been wanting to do it for the last 2.5 years, and so it's been a big relief that finally it's out there. I can start, I'll be performing at places like soon, and it feels great.
How is it different to being in the band?
I think the only difference is that
you can't rely on someone else to sing your line if you
exactly
fuck up.
Exactly as that. If you really hungover, and you can't be arsed talking, there's the others that do it. But really, I mean, my tour manager and stuff's my best mate from school. I brought him in. He quit his job to come and do this, so fingers crossed for him that it works. And yes, so the main difference is just the sort of, there aren't as many, literally there aren't as many of you.
I'm
getting used to it though, honestly. I'm getting used to it. It's all right, like, I don't mind it.
Do you keep in contact with the boys?
Two of them I do, yeah.
Which two?
Jay and Tom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there kind of a fallout or anything?
There wasn't a fallout, but we kind of just didn't speak.
I think that does happen actually fairly often. You see it in bands all the time, right? It's just, create friendships and...
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to think about this the last few years, what I may have done to them or something, but I can't think of anything. I can't, unless I did something that I can't remember. You know?
Is that possible?
It could be. Yeah, you know, it's definitely possible. But
this does happen quite a lot. It's happened with One Direction. It happened with Girls Aloud. It happens with the Spice Girls, right? You just get five people together. Doesn't guarantee they're going to get on, kind of thing.
No, well, it was all right during the music time. It was just kind of after that we didn't. We haven't really spoke, but like I say, Tom and Jay, I was with them at the weekend for Tom's wedding, so that was great.
So you are like the Cheryl, Nicola, Kimberly.
Yeah, which one am I?
Which one do you want to be?
Cheryl,
the star, the biggest star.
Obviously. That's
the Nicola's the good songwriter. So which one are you
going to? Well, I'm all of them then.
Take it.
Kimberly's a really nice one as well, and I think I'm really nice.
Obviously, Jay had a big success with Strictly. You've done a bit of acting. What kind of, are you kind of into doing something along those lines?
Strictly?
Well, I imagine they probably wouldn't have someone from The Wanted try again, right?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, that certainly isn't on my radar anyway. But no,
he did very well. I mean, he won.
He did amazingly well. Yeah, I mean, well, you literally can't beat that.
No, you can't.
So,
you can join it, you can't beat it.
Exactly. No, I've not really thought about anything like that because obviously the music's, like, this is my life now. So everything that I do is for this.
It was quite impressive. You're obviously doing very well.
I've got a long way to go yet. I mean, it's really early days, but...
Are you feeling confident about it?
Yeah, I think what it is I've not really set myself any expectations. I've just said, like, I've got to a point now where I'm happy, where the music's out. So now I just want to enjoy it now.
Yeah.
I don't want to stress out about it because the last 2.5 years I've had to do that. Now I just want to just focus on it and enjoy it.
Good. That sounds pretty good. What do you think about Louis joining One Direction? Joining the X Factor.
Joining the X Factor. Well, I think I don't think that's a bad thing for anyone. I think it's good for him. I think it's good for the show. I think it's really good for the younger contestants that go on that'll obviously be really nervous and are probably fans of his because he's been through the experience, so he'll understand what they're feeling when they're in there.
Yeah.
And they're probably feeling it tenfold because they're probably idolising him. So I actually think he'll bring a lot to the show.
Well, I can see that too. He looked a little bit miserable.
Did he?
Doing the press for it to begin with.
Right. I'll do it if you don't want to do it. I'll step in.
For it.
It's a one-off.
Would you do something like that if the opportunity came up? Because, you know, it can be a bit of a poison chalice, right?
Yeah, I actually would like... I would like to do something like that, I think. That's part of the reason why I set a record label up, is to give sort of kids a platform before they get to a major label. It's such a big leap.
It's
so difficult nowadays. So my label really was put together not just to help me, but to help younger people out. So if I could help them judging on a TV show or setting my label up, then yeah, I think I'd relish that thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big ask though, isn't it? Because people are putting their whole reputation on the line. And you're kind of trying to help them. It's difficult.
Yeah, I suppose so. But you can only do like the what you think's the best for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, Max, I could talk to you all night.
You too.
Sadly, well, our 4 or 5 minutes have been cut short. thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate it. We're going to play a bit of Barcelona now.
Nice.
Do you want to introduce it?
So I'm Max George, and this is Barcelona.
Thanks so much, everyone. Good night.
Met you on a beach in Barcelona. Spent the whole night talking till the sun came up. Had me feeling like I'd always known you. And I knew I'd never get enough. You were heading back to California.
California. I was kinda hoping you would miss your flight. Never thought that I'd be waiting for you. Now I'm counting down the days and nights. No, I can't stop thinking about you. I'm thinking about you. Can't stop thinking about you. I'm thinking about you. Every night. Until the sun came up, had me feeling like I'd always known ya, and I knew I'd never get enough. No, I can't stop thinking about you. I'm thinking about you.